Well, good morning, Conquerors Class. This is Brother Ray Shutt. I'm coming to you again today with our lesson from the So Great Salvation series that we've been going through. This will be lesson number 4. And the lesson today will be entitled, Why the Word of God is So Important in Our Great Salvation. We're going to be going through several verses, so I hope that you've got your Bible there with you today. I hope it will be a help and encouragement to you. But before we start the lesson today, I want to remind you of something that is going to be happening next Sunday morning, and this should excite the soul of every child of God that has been suffering through this pestilence since mid-March. Next Sunday morning, June the 7th, at 10:45 a.m., we will be having our first morning worship service there at Church of the Open Door. This will be the first service that we have been able to have since the governor shut down our facilities due to the COVID-19 situation and asked us to protect our people. And that's what we've been doing. Pastor has been doing a great job with that, trying to encourage us with that and explain to us why we've not been able to meet. But I hope next Sunday, if you are able to come, oh, how I hope that you can be able to be there. We long to see your faces again. We long to be able to fellowship with you again. And we look forward to that day, June the 7th at 10:45 a.m. in the main auditorium of our church. Now, we will not be having Sunday school live there at the church. There will be no nurseries. There will be no buses running, no Sunday school classes going on. But we will be able to have the normal church service at 10:45. Then Sunday night, we're going to have services again at 6 o'clock p.m. And then on Wednesday night, June the 10th, we'll be coming back for our Wednesday night midweek Bible study service, all in the auditorium. There will be no soul winners classes, no other classes going on, no teen services. All the families should be together there in the main auditorium, and we will meet together there at 7 o'clock p.m. Boy, I hope that you can be there for these services, and we look forward to seeing you there. Now, today, we're going to begin our lesson number 4 in this So Great Salvation series, and the lesson today is entitled, Why the Word of God is So Important in Our So Great Salvation. If I could sum up this lesson in one simple statement, I would sum it up this way. I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible. You know, Jesus prayed unto his Father before going to the cross. And on that night, before he was taken before Herod and Pilate, and so accused by the Jews and the religious crowd of his day, he prayed in his Father there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And one of the things that he prayed and asked his Father is found in John chapter 17, verse 17. I want to use this as our theme verse for our lesson today. And this is simply what Jesus prayed. He said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, as we continue in this series of lessons about our so great salvation, we come today to the subject of what makes our salvation so much greater than anything else that the world and its thousands of man-made religions and traditions can offer anyone. And that which makes the fact of our salvation so great and so mighty is that our salvation all hinges upon its ultimate, unending, an unlimited source of power and authority over sin, and that is God himself. Now, if you heard a little bark there, that was not me. That's my secretary. That's Precious. She's here in my office at home, and she's guarding the door for me. There's a storm going on outside right now, but we're here, and we want this lesson to be a blessing to you. I want to show you something here in Psalm chapter number 8, verse number 1, where the psalmist David writes, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And again, in that very same chapter, in verse number 9, we read, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I looked up that word excellent, and that word excellent literally means beautiful beyond compare, superior, far above the quality of any other. And that doesn't even come close to describing how far above all the things of this earth the name of our Lord God truly is. In Psalm chapter 86, verses 12 and 13, David again writes, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Boy, isn't that the testimony that each of us should be able to share today? You see, all those who know of and have experienced the wonderful saving grace of our great God not only sing of that name, but with all the strength within our souls, we glorify and we honor that name, which is above all other names, for it is indeed above any and all other names. One day, think about this. One day, even as we read over in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11, all the earth and all the heavens are going to bear witness. And they're going to bear witness to what Paul wrote here, where he said, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, what a day that's going to be when all creation glorifies that name, which is so far above every other name. But folks, I want you to understand something this morning as we look at this lesson about the Word of God. There is something that God holds even higher than His very name today. And we read about that again in the psalmist David's declaration found in Psalm chapter 138, verses 1 and 2. Here we read these words. David writes, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, you know what? Men may curse the name of our Lord and Savior today as if that precious name were just something most vile and reprehensible. But far above their hatred for that precious name, it would seem that all the world today holds even a more vile hatred and disregard for that book of all books which leads the thirsting soul to the fountain of living water, and whose words of eternal hope and conviction of spirit cause even the hardest and most adamant hearts to soften and melt away in tears of repentance. That book we call the Word of God. Since the very beginning of creation, Satan has stood against that book, and he has questioned its divine authority. Satan's desire has ever been to deny and to distort its truths so as to cause men, women, boys, and girls to totally disregard it as being the actual words of Almighty God. His attempts to distort and to pervert it throughout the centuries have literally brought nothing but confusion and contradiction within the covers of the ongoing multitude of so-called new and easier to understand perversions of the Word of God that are being printed today by publishing companies. They are only seeking the filthy lucre of monetary greed instead of the eternal joys brought about by knowing that they are publishing the soul-saving truths of the gospel of peace today. Boy, isn't that sad? You know, God said in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. But God said in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 18, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say, Amen. And in Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10, God again says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. And that's what many of these publishers are doing today. They're printing books. They put the name Holy Bible on the front of it. But those books have been so distorted and so perverted that the gospel message has been dissolved from its content. The best of those perverted books that Satan could ever publish and print on its cover, the words Holy Bible, would still be a lie. For as Jesus reminds us about Satan in John chapter 8, verse 44, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. But for all the hatred that Satan holds against the Word of God, those of us sinners who have been so wondrously and marvelously delivered from the penalty and the wages of sin, and have been so gloriously saved through the message of mercy and grace that its pages so boldly declare, we can, along with the psalmist, declare these words found in Psalm chapter 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And as in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, we can proclaim unashamedly, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Man, what a set of verses. And I want you to look at Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119, verses 103 through 106. Here the psalmist again declares, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Yet in these examples that I've given you so far, we've still only begun to scratch the surface of the importance of the Word of God in our so great salvation, and of its vital importance in the very life of every truly born-again child of God. There was a great big famous farm machinery company that once made this statement. They wrote, for generations, the name John Deere has stood for quality, durability, value, and proven performance. Today, customers across a wide range of markets and around the world know that when they buy John Deere, they're working with a trustworthy company whose word is as good as the name on the equipment. We build long-term relationships based on trust and a deep understanding of your needs. You have our word on it because you have our name on it. Wow. This company, along with several other companies that use words very similar to this, they wanted their customers to know that they are a reputable company that can be trusted, and that you can depend upon them because their word to you as their customer is trustworthy and true. But long before any company ever coined the phrase, you have our word on it, to serve as a guarantee on the product or the services that they produced and distributed, God gave the same guarantee to all those who would put their faith and their trust in him as their Redeemer and Deliverer. You see, God gave mankind his guarantee to be found faithful and true, loving and merciful, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a refuge and a strength, a strong tower, as well as a very present help when we're allowed to go through some times of trouble and sorrow. Yes, child of God, the Word of God is indeed important to each of us, and especially to those of us who may be growing in the Lord and wanting to live for God, because it is exactly that. It is the Word of God. It's holy. It's without error or contradiction. And with God himself standing by it, he has promised that he will not change, but he has instead forever settled his word, fixed it in place in heaven. Oh, dear child of God, what a blessing it is to know that we can believe what God says because we have his word on it, and his word is indeed faithful and true. So now I want you to look at this lesson with me today. The outline is there on the website, and you can follow along on that. The verse references are there. You'll have to turn in your Bible to pull up the verses, but the verse references are there, and I hope it'll be a help to you. So let's look at the lesson today, and I want us to discover the truths of what makes God's Word so vitally important in this, our so great salvation. Why the Word of God is so important in our so great salvation. Number one, I want you to see this. It is important because the Word of God really is God's Word. Now, under number A there on your outline, I want you to see something. The Word of God proves this fact in its faithfulness throughout the centuries. When God had Moses speak unto the people of Israel before they went into the Promised Land, he reminded them over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 through 9, that the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. You see, all throughout the Word of God, folks, we see the faithfulness of God, not only to make his promises unto his people, but to keep those promises, and to do exactly what he said he would do. God said over in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Boy, aren't you glad for that today. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, we read, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The Apostle James, the son of Mary and Joseph, and half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, he wrote in his epistle, there in James chapter 1, verse 17, he wrote these words. He said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The writer of the book of Hebrews wrote of the faithfulness of God and his word in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse number 16. Read this with me. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Boy, aren't you glad for that? Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Apostle John wrote in Revelation chapter 21, verses 4 and 5, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And then in Revelation chapter 22, verse 6, John wrote this. He said, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Folks, the fact I'm trying to make before you today is simply this. The faithfulness of God's word proves the faithfulness of God himself, and that God's word truly is the word of God given unto man so as to point him to the Savior that he so needs. You know, science confirms God's word to be faithful. Over in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, there we've learned that the life of the flesh is in the blood. This is a scientific fact. In Job, chapter 26, we learn how that God stretched out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. God taught in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 22, that the world is not flat. And he stated it this way. He said, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3, we see that it is through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Here, the word of God declares very clearly that every unseen element that makes up our entire universe was created and brought into existence by Almighty God, who simply said, let there be, and it came to be. And you know what? Not only does science confirm God's word to be faithful, but archaeology confirms God's word to be faithful. Time and time again, scientists and archaeologists have had to swallow their pride and admit the fact that God's word was indeed true regarding scientific and archaeological discoveries, which at one time had been deemed to be false, only because the physical discovery had not yet been made by modern man. Once again, proving that as we read in Psalm 85:11, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Oh, thank God for that fact that God's word is true. God's word is faithful. And it's because the word of God proves this fact that we've had the faithfulness of God displayed throughout the centuries. But number B, I want you to see this. The word of God proves this fact in its purity and perfection. The word of God proves that it truly is God's word by its purity and perfection. In Psalm chapter number 12, verse 6, the Bible there reminds us, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. In Psalm 119, verse 140, David exclaimed, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Solomon, the wisest man in all the world, wrote in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. King David said in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. That word tried there means it is proven. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Yes, indeed, child of God, the word of God proves itself over and over again that it is truly God's eternal, everlasting, holy, pure, faithful, and perfect word. And not only do we see that the word of God is important because it really is God's word, but now, number two, I want you to see that it is important because the word of God is truth. My goodness, doesn't our world today need truth? Our world today is failing because of the lack of truth within its lifestyle. But you know what? In John chapter 17, there we see our Savior falling upon his face and praying unto God his Father for those disciples who would be left upon this earth after his crucifixion and his burial, bodily resurrection, and bodily ascension back up into heaven. And he was praying for them because he wanted them to take the gospel to all those around him. And here in John chapter 17, verses 14 through 17, Jesus prayed this way to his Father. He said, Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. No wonder the world hated these faithful men of God, as well as the Son of God, who preached unto them truth. When John the Baptist preached about the coming Messiah, he told the people there in John chapter 1, verse 17, he said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Those old Jews had been living for so long under the law, but John the Baptist's message of God's wonderful grace and truth pointed his congregations to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what truth does, folks. Truth points people to Jesus. Jesus put it this way when speaking to the people there in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Maybe I need to read that part again. If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank God for that truth that delivers lost souls and sets the captive free. The word of God is important because it is the word of God in truth. But there's another reason we need to consider this morning, child of God. Fact number three is this. It is important because the word of God is life. Jesus describes Satan to the people in John chapter 10, verse 10, saying, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But Jesus didn't come into this world to usher in death, for Satan had already done that. Jesus said there in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Remember, folks, Jesus said the devil desires nothing but to steal and to kill and to destroy the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. We read in Luke chapter 8, verse number 12, where Jesus explained how the devil treats those who hear the message of the gospel when it's presented to them from the Word of God. And there he said that the devil taketh away the word out of their hearts. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. You see, the devil knows what God's word does. And the devil knows that God's word changes lives, and the devil doesn't want that. Those religious but lost Pharisees in the Bible who always disputed the words of Jesus, they didn't care for the things of God, but rather the devil had them spiritually blinded and deceived into simply performing religious deeds and following the vain traditions of men instead of hearing and receiving the life-giving and life-changing words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus asked them there in John chapter 8, verses 43 through 45. He asked, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Man, that sounds like our world today, does it not, child of God? The Word of God gives life to those who are spiritually dead, like each of us were before we got saved. All the devil could offer was eternal death and destruction through sin. But in John chapter 11, verse 25, we read where Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Oh, thank God for the day that he quickened my spirit and he saved my unworthy soul. And you know what? It's for that reason that you and I should love and should cherish the Word of God. And as the psalmist David wrote again in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And as David explained in Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." Oh, yes, dear child of God, the Word of God is important to us today. It's very important, not only because it is truth, but because the Word of God is life. But I want you to consider this fourth thing that should really thrill your soul this morning. The Word of God is important because the Word of God is for all people. There are verses that we have come to learn throughout our Christian lives. Verses that we all know and have learned from being in Sunday school and in church and hearing our pastor preach. But there are verses that sometimes slip our minds, child of God, and they fade away from our memories. But I want for you to consider some of these passages of Scripture that we're all familiar with, and yet we let them sink out of our memories. They just fade away. But today I want you to allow them to sink into your heart so that we might never forget that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all people. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Apostle Peter reminds us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Old Testament prophets knew this truth, even in their day, and they longed to experience the joy of the coming Messiah in their own hearts. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the prophet boldly declared the desire of God for all people, stating, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The Apostle John wrote in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." But then beginning here in verse number 6, John the Apostle began to write of the mission that God had given unto a man named John the Baptist, the last Old Testament prophet. And this man of God, John the Baptist, was sent by God to prepare the way for God's coming Messiah, who would bring forth God's divine message of truth and righteousness so as to set all men free who had for so long been held in the bondage of sin. And there beginning in John chapter 1, verse number 6, the Apostle John writes about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And folks, as the people began to listen to the preaching of John the Baptist, they begin to ask him, as we read here in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, this is John the Baptist, I imagine this in my mind's eye, with a tear in his eye and a quivering voice, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now go down to verses 35, 36, and 37, where John the Apostle writes of the witness of John the Baptist, saying, "Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Jesus, in explaining his mission unto one of those religious Jewish leaders named Nicodemus, said in John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, folks, the gospel is for all people everywhere. It's for the whole world. And what makes the Word of God so important is the fact that it is for everybody. Child of God, think about it today. If someone had never presented the good news of the gospel to you when they did, and you had never heard that message of salvation and been saved, where might you be today? That which makes the Word of God so important today is the fact that this message of divine love and deliverance from sin is for every man and for every woman and for every boy and for every girl, wherever they may live and in whatsoever state they may be living in. Thank God for that Sunday school bus that came my way when I was just a boy, and it took me to church where I heard the gospel message of God's grace and truth, and my heart was convicted of my sin. And there on March the 28th, 1975, I fell down upon my knees as a 15-and-a-half-year-old young man and repented of my sin, and I asked the Lord to save me. And honey, he did. Hallelujah for that day. But I so often shiver to think that had someone not seen the importance of the gospel in their life and been willing to take that same message to a little remote street where a young boy named Ray Shutt lived, and for more than a year came by my house every Saturday and begged my parents to let us ride that bus to church, I shiver to think whether I might have ever even been able to hear the truth of the gospel or see my need of a Savior and be saved. Oh, dear child of God, do you see how important the Word of God is today in the lives of those around you and in the lives of those that may work around you or go to school with you? What if someone had never come your way and told you about Jesus? Where might you be today? And folks, there are millions more outside our house doors and just outside our church doors and just around the corner and just down the block and living and working on the next street over who need some born-again child of God to be willing to say, the Word of God sure has been important to me, and I believe I'm just going to take it and make sure it's important to somebody else today. Oh, dear child of God, Conquerors Class member, Church of the Open Door member, whoever you are that may be listening to this lesson, and you know that you've been saved by the marvelous grace of God, will you be that one who will take the Word of God to someone who needs it today? The Apostle Paul wrote these words that we as soul winners especially so often use when we are presenting God's plan of salvation to someone. But child of God, never forget these words. And please don't ever forsake the vision found within these words. The Apostle Paul wrote this great truth found in Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 17, which reminds us, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he asked this question, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that word preacher means simply a declarer, a witness, a messenger, a herald. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Folks, this is why the word of God ought to be so important in your life today and in my life today as well. The message of the gospel is for everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the question is, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, a declarer, a messenger, a herald who will stand unashamed of the gospel and be willing to take it everywhere they go? Child of God, God has commanded you and me to go. All throughout the New Testament, we see the burden of our Savior's heart for those of us who call ourselves born-again children of God to simply be willing to go. And we hear his command for us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. But we will never be obedient to that command if we fail to see the importance of God's word in our lives or in the lives of others who need to hear that message. The Bible said, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Oh, child of God, perhaps that's the reason our world is not obeying the gospel today. And perhaps that's why the world today is not choosing to live for Jesus, simply because no one who calls themselves a child of God has ever taken the message of God's great love and grace found only in the sacred pages of the Word of God to them. Oh, today, child of God, won't you be willing to obey the gospel and go today and share that message with somebody somewhere? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Remember, dear child of God, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And perhaps maybe you're listening to the sound of my voice today, and you have not yet been saved. You have no assurance whatsoever that you'll ever be able to go to heaven when you die. Oh, my friend, won't you turn to Jesus today? Please turn unto him. The Bible so earnestly reminds us that Jesus is the giver of all hope and peace and unmerited grace that God desires to extend upon each of us so that we might be saved. And God wants you to be saved today as well. Won't you then do what God's word says do? Won't you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead so that thou shalt be saved? You see, it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, and it's with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. And here is God's promise unto you today, dear lost friend, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, please don't remain lost. Please be willing to call upon Jesus today. Oh God, Lord, please take this message today and speak not only to the hearts of your dear children that have already been saved, but God, please speak to the hearts of those who may be listening to the sound of my voice and do not yet know you as their Savior. Please, Lord, help them be willing today to ask you to forgive them of their sin and repent of their sin so that they might be saved. Help us, Lord, today to be a light and a vessel for your honor and for your glory in the lost and dying world around us. And we'll thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to say thank you today for joining us for this lesson entitled Why the Word of God is So Important in Our So Great Salvation. Now, we're going to close our lesson today with a song that's sung by the John Marshall family entitled I Love the Old Bible. But please don't forget, join us here for the service. It's coming up live this morning with Pastor Belcher at 10:45. We'll come back again live tonight at 6 o'clock, and then again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for our midweek Bible study service. We love you, Conquerors class, and we sure do look forward to seeing each of you here next Sunday for the first church service together since back in mid-March. I hope and pray that the lesson today has been a help to you. Now listen to the song as we close.
To shine, and it keeps me so happy, always so happy, God's wonderful book, divine.
What hope for the traveler, strength almost gone, that makes him determined to keep trotting on. What sweet consolation from heaven's bright throne, God's wonderful book, divine.
And I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible, the light of my pathway to shine. And it keeps me so happy, always so happy, God's wonderful book, divine.
Compass will point you to heaven's bright home, God's wonderful book, divine.
In case you are wondering of what book I sing,
it's the same one the old-time revivals did bring. It's the only one version authorized by the King, God's wonderful book, divine. Precious old Bible, the light of my pathway to shine. And it keeps me so happy, always so happy, God's wonderful book, divine.
And it keeps me so happy, always so happy,
God's wonderful book.